Welcome. I'm Jamie, the pastor of Anchor Bible Church in Lincoln City. Today we're going to talk about the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord is a phrase beginning in the Old Testament, and it describes the 7 years of tribulation. It's the same as the tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation. And these 7 years are still yet future. But today we're going to look up several verses that have the phrase the Day of the Lord in it, and some other related phrases that we need to see. And you should have this on a PDF format, the verses there. If not, just follow along as you hear them read. We'll have to do these verses in two sections or two sessions because of the length of some of these verses that we have to look into. But very important topic, very important topic. And so we pray that you'll have understanding as we read through these verses. First section is Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, Isaiah 2:12, which says, "For the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord of hosts, shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low." There's no proud hearts in God's presence. Those who are proud and lofty and lifted up, hearts that are lifted up, God is going to humble and bring that person low. So there'll be no one who is proud in God's sight. And then he gives some figurative language these next few verses. "And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan." So we see some of these wonderful, beautiful trees in the Holy Land, in those areas. Lebanon, these great cedars, you could almost say, wow, it's like our redwood trees. You know, something like that. It's like, wow, look how majestic and tall and high they are. Well, God's going to have to humble them. A beautiful oak tree and flourishing and spreading out, its branches spreading out over the, and he's going to have to lower those. And so men are, and women are compared to these high and lofty trees. "And upon all the high mountains, upon all the high hills," the hills that are lifted up. So when we look at the majestic mountains, and we think, wow, someone topples those over, they won't be quite so majestic and tall, obviously. So the Lord's going to lower and humble people just like he could with things in nature. "And upon every high tower and upon every fenced wall." So Isaiah 2:16 says, "And upon the ships of Tarshish and upon all the pleasant pictures and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." So the day of the Lord is a period of time. Well, I guess you could say in a sense that the Lord has had enough with sinful, high, proud mankind on the earth. And so there's going to be a period of time through the 7 years of tribulation. He's just going to flat out humble everybody. And this is getting ready for the millennial kingdom, because we have the 7 years of tribulation, and then Christ returns and sets up his thousand-year kingdom. So in a sense, he's humbling everybody and getting rid of all these things that will, because our Lord Jesus Christ, he's meek and lowly, the Bible tells us. He's humble, he's gentle, he's kind, and he's loving. And those are some of the qualities and traits that will be in the kingdom when he sets it up. But mankind is different. And so also verse 18 says, "And the idols he shall utterly abolish." People worship idols. They worship things, material things. Notice this in verse 19, Isaiah 2:19 says, "And they shall," to people during the tribulation time, in the day of the Lord, "and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth." So the Lord's going to have great and mighty things during the tribulation time. And people are going to try to hide from him and get away from that. It's like, you know, go into rocks and caves and tunnels and basements and maybe NORAD and all bomb shelters just to try to hide from God. Well, you can't hide from God, but they're going to do this. When we get to the Revelation passage, we'll see it repeating this or saying the same thing there. And so we know that those verses that we're going to look at in Revelation's talking about this the same time when people hide in the rocks and the caves. Verse 20, in that day, the day of the Lord, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made one for himself to worship, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Take their idols down there with them in the caves, and they're thinking, these things just are useless. They're not worth anything. They're not helping. They're not saving me from God's wrath. And so they just kind of cast them down on the ground. Well, that's where the moles are running around, and the bats are in the caves and dwelling in the caves. To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Lord. They're afraid of him during this time. Should humble them enough so that they repent and get saved, but yet we'll see that that might not necessarily be the case for many people during the tribulation. Very, very sad. And for the glory and majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. So God is going to get people's attention. He's going to humble people. He's going to show himself as being the Lord and majestic during that time, because he is, but he's going to show it. Where maybe he isn't right now in this way. He isn't. So our passage in Isaiah 2, verse 22, ends this way with a plea. Cease ye from man. Quit worshiping man. Quit putting man as high and lofty. Put God first, not yourself, not your idol to worship. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? So we forget that we borrow life from God. Our breath comes from God. Our heartbeat comes from the living God. And so here's a plea. Stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in others. Stop trusting during this time. You could even say the Antichrist, because he's during the tribulation period. And so this is talking about the day of the Lord is to humble the proud. So we're going to Isaiah 13 next. So some of these things that the Lord has showed us here in a great book of Isaiah, the prophet in Isaiah. Isaiah 13, verse 6 through 11. Howl ye. It's like, make these wailing sounds, and sounds of agony and pain. Howl ye. For the day of the Lord is at hand. It's certain. It's for sure to happen. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. See, the day of the Lord, the tribulation, comes from God. We forget that Jesus Christ himself, the Lamb of God, is the one who opens the first seal of the blueprint of the tribulation in the book of Revelation. So these plagues come from God Almighty. Verse 7 says, therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. The courage goes away. Your hands, in a sense, are shaking because of all the terrible things that are happening during the tribulation. Verse 8, and they shall be afraid. The men? Courageous men afraid? Yes. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. See, this is what we call birth pangs. Birth pangs, or women in travail. But here it's talking about men, and well, all people, but men also, we're going to see elsewhere, is that during the tribulation, they call it a time, the Bible calls it a time of the birth pang. So when you see that associated with this day of the Lord, that's the tribulation. And so it's going to be a terrible, painful time for a woman in delivery, having the birth pangs or the contractions. They keep getting heavier and harder and painful. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames, so red in the face, a fiery looking face, because of the pain and the anguish and the things that are going on. Behold, verse 9 says, behold, the day of the Lord, here it is, it cometh, it's going to come. Here's a prophecy about it. It's yet to happen. Cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger. Wrath from God. God is angry during this time to lay the land desolate. And so we see that the land is just going to be pummeled and destroyed and desolate from all the great mighty plagues and things that are going to happen during the tribulation. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it, the sinners. And so that's what's going to happen. And those who trust Christ as Savior, some get martyred, but some end up staying alive until Christ comes at the second coming, and they enter the kingdom that way, the millennial kingdom that way. But yet sinners, those who hate God, reject Christ, don't want salvation, then he will destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So we see these cosmic events and things happening. Again, this is from man's perspective on the earth. So that doesn't mean that the sun burns out completely, but yet perhaps, you know, clouds in the sky, pollution in the sky from all the wars. There's many reasons this could happen, but this doesn't mean that the sun just stops altogether. But yet, here we see that things are going to be dark during the tribulation. Maybe not all the time. Maybe these times comes and goes. But yet, we can see that there's during the tribulation, this will happen. This is not just a temporary eclipse or something. This is from God. And I will punish the world for their evil. We forget that we're evil in the sight of God's holiness. He's holy, 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 without sin, without any spot, without, God's not wicked. He's not evil. He's just. He's right. He's pure. He's love. He's holy. He's yet without sin. But we're the wicked one. So he punishes the evil people upon this earth. For their iniquity, rejecting him and not letting him be in charge of their lives. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. The proud is going to be stopped. No more proud in front of God's sight. And will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Wow, all this in one passage in Isaiah chapter 2. Actually, two passages. Here we are at 13 already, but one book. One book of Isaiah, and so we're just looking at a little bit. So the Lord is giving us a warning. The Lord is giving us a great blessing in a sense of understanding this and hearing about it before these events happen so that we can get right with the Lord, so that we can be men and women and boys and girls who are warned of things to come and get right with their Lord, get our hearts right with the Lord so we're not proud. So that we're not haughty, so that we acknowledge our iniquity and confess our evilness and wickedness unto the Lord. Yes, we have to admit that we're sinners before the Lord. And so if we compare ourselves to one another, yes, you can always find somebody else that's probably worse off than you in some way, shape, or form. But when we compare ourselves to the holy God, that's what we need to do. So our next passage is in Joel, Joel, and so, you know, Joel, Amos is kind of how it is. Books are close together there. In the 12, the minor prophets in the back of the Old Testament. So, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. So, Joel chapter 2 talks about the day of the Lord. Joel chapter 2 talks about the day of the Lord. So, here's another great passage, 2 verses 1 through 13. Actually, we might end up breaking this up into the three sections. We'll see how it goes. Joel 2, 1 says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion." Where's Zion? Well, that's Jerusalem. That's the city of Jerusalem in Israel. In Israel. As I'm recording this, Israel's at war with Hamas. Hamas invaded Israel and slaughtered many people and took hostages, and so Israel is now fighting back. But Zion, Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. So sound the alarm, the trumpet of alarm, the alarm trumpet. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Why? Why? Something's going to happen. For the day of the Lord cometh. And by now, anybody reading the Old Testament, they've read through Isaiah, they understand what the day of the Lord's about, and they're reading this, the day of the Lord cometh, and you're thinking, uh-oh, oh no, it's a terrible time. It is nigh. It is nigh at hand. Notice how the Lord describes these things here in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. It's a unique time. There's no time like the day of the Lord, like the seven-year tribulation on this earth. Praise the Lord that he will take the believers out prior to that time. We'll see that in other passages as well. And so, but here it's saying that it's a unique time. There's never been a time like this. There's never been a judgment like this on this earth. And there will never be a time like this after that, after the tribulation is over. He describes it a little bit more in Joel chapter 2, verse 3. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. And the land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. And so he's talking about some of these plagues, and it describes them more in Revelation. But notice here that the Israel has developed its land and agricultural enough that it is beautiful. I mean, they're coming out with technology and inventions all the time. And so many irrigation principles and methods that they invent there that we use here as well. But it was like the Garden of Eden, flourish and beautiful. But during the tribulation, it just all gets wasted and burnt up. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and the horsemen they shall run. Let's go down to verse 6. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall together blackness. So things of agony and fear and distress and distraught. It's people are showing that on their faces. Let's keep going maybe for some time here. Verse 10. Verse 10, Joel 2:10. I encourage you to read the passages we just script, though. Skipped. The earth shall quake, verse 10, before them. The heaven shall tremble. The sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. See, it's describing the same events, the same time. Things in the heavens where they get dim and dark upon, so that you can't see upon planet Earth very well. The Lord's getting people's attention, lowering the proud. And the Lord shall utter his voice before the army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong and executeth his word. We forget that God's words don't fail, they don't fall. Whatever he says and predicts comes to pass, just as it is written. And so we can understand and trust these words. What he means, he says, and he says what he means. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? And we see at one point that the Lord says if he doesn't shorten this time, nobody would be saved. Maybe because men will destroy themselves, but also because of the plagues that the Lord himself is giving on planet Earth. So it's a very terrible and great time. And so we need to believe God, that he knows what he's saying, and we need to respect his words. Verse 12 says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. You see, the Lord is giving a plea to turn to God. A heart that is rebellious against God, turn to God with all your heart. If you're not cleansed and sin and have your sins cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, turn to Christ for salvation. Turn to God for forgiveness. Confess your sins to Him. And with fasting and weeping and mourning, rend your heart. Rend means to tear it, like people in mourning and in sorrow would rip their a cloth or a piece of their shirt or something, to say that this is a terrible, grievous, sorrowful time. But here it says, don't just tear your clothes, not your garments, tear your heart. You need to have a broken heart before the Lord. And so the Lord's saying, He knows that we're proud. He knows that we're wicked. He knows that we're evil. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious. Praise God for that. And merciful. He won't give us what we deserve, the punishment we deserve. For why? For He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And so that he will repent of the evil. He'll relent of the evil. In other words, if you turn to him, then he will give you the full punishment, because he'll have you covered by the blood of the Lamb. And so even during this great and terrible day of the Lord, he's giving us a warning, and now he's telling us what we're supposed to do in light of that. Turn to Christ. Turn to him for salvation. And so here we are in Joel 2 already. So I think what we'll do is stop here, and we'll pick up the next verses in the next session. So these are great and mighty verses, and I just pray that you'll and all the listeners will have our hearts humbled before the Lord, and take these verses and God's word at heart, and trust him, and have our lives changed before him. All right, look forward to seeing you in the next session. Lord bless you, and thank you for listening.